Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to View from the Top Rope, where we discuss professional wrestling from a higher vantage point. My name is Diesel, and we're here in Zeus's lair without Zeus this week.
Yeah, he's not here right now. It's weird.
And with my partner, you just heard the beast incarnate of the wrestling podcast world, Chad.
Yes, I am here. You're right, that wasn't elaborate, but I did quite enjoy it anyways.
I was thinking about going with Chad
Lesnar. You should have gone, Chad Lesnar. I would have marked out if you would have done that. I would have lost it.
Oh, well, it kind of came to me after I heard you said it. So I got it in there, though, still.
You did. It was a great opening, as always. I like when you do the openings because I can think less.
Well, I like you doing the openings more, but I'm going to do them this week, and I'm going to ask you, how was your week?
Oh, my week's been pretty good. Lots of wrestling in there. I actually binge-watched the entire Mae Young Classic besides the finals this past Saturday. As I said, I was gonna wait to the championship, but then I couldn't. I had to watch it. So I watched that on Saturday, and then I already watched the finals live. Hopefully, we'll be talking about that tonight. Also, XWA, my eFed, is back in full swing. Got a massacre match against Smith Jones, who's one of the guys I faced in that triple threat. And then I also have our pay-per-view, which is District XWA. And I'm facing Jeannie Rose, a newbie. Don't know much about her. We'll see how it goes. But how's your week been, Diesel?
My week's been pretty good, actually. I mean, this past weekend was the first weekend of NFL season. And my Packers got a big victory over Seattle, so I'm pretty happy about that.
It was a good game, too. Mike Daniels was out there throwing people around like little children.
And he's a big wrestling fan, too.
He's a huge wrestling fan.
So that ties right into our podcast.
It really does. It's like we had everything planned out when we really don't plan out anything.
Exactly. You know, I've also watched some Raw, watched some SmackDown, NXT, all the 205 Live.
205 Live. Once again, that product keeps getting better and better every week. And everyone needs to watch 205 Live. Watch it!
And I've been sporadically watching some of the Raws from 1998. And I'm just about the King of the Ring in 1998 right now. So it's getting really good, too. So
yeah, I know. I watched a little bit of that with you yesterday when we were hanging out. And yeah, it is a great time. Triple H and The Rock facing the first round of the King of the Ring that we were watching.
Yep, and they're setting up for the Mankind Hell in the Cell with Undertaker and the first blood match with Stone Cold and Kane.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. So I understand how you're getting wrapped back up into nostalgia.
Exactly. So speaking of nostalgia, maybe I should ask my question first this week for the Brain Buster question of the week.
You mean the mystery Brain Buster of the week?
Well, yes, that's why you're better at leading the show, Chad.
All right. Didn't you go first last week?
Well, I mean, if you want to go first, mine kind of has to do with nostalgia a little bit, but...
Oh, then we'll go with yours because mine deals with the future. So let's go to the nostalgia angle.
Okay. Well, mine is, what is your favorite moment or memory from a live event that you were at?
Ooh. That's a really good question. As a kid, I got to see Sting. I was about 5 years old, and I went to Milwaukee with my stepdad. So that's up there. I know which one you think I'm going to say, which is when we just went to Ring of Honor, and War Machine, probably the greatest tag team on the planet right now, came out dressed as Dalton Castle's boys, and I mean did the entire thing. And yep, that's what I'm going to say. Yep, 100%. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I had such a massive mark attack. I almost threw my phone and spiked it into the ground like Gronkowski. I was so excited.
Yeah, that is true. You did almost do that. I'm surprised you didn't say Adam Cole.
Yeah, that was another good one. I mean, I love seeing Adam Cole. It was great doing the Bay Bay, but just the sound system wasn't good enough. Like, I feel like if the music could have been a little louder, it would have been more enjoyable, but the War Machine coming out with Dalton as Dalton Castle's boys is one of the funniest things and the greatest things I've ever seen. Plus, it also had the dance-off in that match. That match in general probably is my favorite match I've ever seen live, without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, I was laughing real hard. Tears rolling out my eyes. The side-splitting. It was a good match, too.
Oh, it was a great match. Yeah. And they battled in front of us for like 5 minutes, and we were on camera the entire time, just standing there drinking, and I have my Too Sweet up the whole time. I'm just going, yeah, Too Sweet.
I mean, that was a good night, but wanted me to answer mine?
Of course. What was yours?
Well, been to a few events with you, and some of like the best moments I can remember going to an event with you, that whole Ring of Honor show, I mean, was great. But like, we also got to see Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens fight against each other. We got to see AJ Styles,
versus Roman Reigns.
Yep, we got to see Goldberg's entrance, and then we got to see him do two moves against Kevin Owens.
Yeah, we were at that fast lane, everyone, where KO lost in 30 seconds.
But my favorite moment live was the only time I went to a wrestling event you weren't there.
Oh.
It was back in 2001, early 2001, and JR was there. I went with him and his dad, and we were like 11, 12 years old, and it was a house show, and it was Stone Cold and The Undertaker versus Kane and Rikishi, and I remember was I didn't know who was going to be there. I didn't know who was coming out next. And I remember Stone Cold coming out, his glass shatter. And I remember JR was going to get like a pretzel or something like that. Kane's music hit. I've never seen the boy run so fast in his life.
Oh, man, that boy and his love of Kane.
And so, I mean, that was just great. I mean, all four of them are Hall of Famers.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that match like vividly today still. And after the match, Stone Cold and Undertaker sat in the ring for, it seemed like, eternity, just chugging beer.
That is awesome.
And switching off music, too. Like, yeah. Stone Cold's music was over, then they went to the Undertaker's music. They started Stone Cold's music again. It was forever. It was awesome.
That is amazing.
I had to be so drunk.
Well, I mean, Stone Cold could drink like a fish. And he only ever drank like half the beer because he just poured it on himself.
Very true. But he got some of them in there.
Yeah. No, that's true. So I thought of another thing. This is a wrestling event that I went to without you. I've been to quite a few. I used to go with like my cousins and everything. And I actually got to see John Cena versus Umaga in a no DQ match at the Alliant Energy Center. And that was right before they had their huge blow-off match, which everyone says is Umaga's best match, when John Cena chokes him out with the ropes.
Yep.
So this was a violent, violent match. I mean, there was two table spots in it. I know there is a chair and chain. I mean, it was like a 25-minute match of just them beating each other. Still not my favorite, but just something that popped into my head as you were talking.
Yeah, we also saw together John Cena versus Bray Wyatt in a no DQ match.
Yes, we did.
It wasn't that great because half the match, John Cena was being attended to by
the paramedics.
Yeah, some with his eye or something. But
yeah.
I mean, the finish was good, though. I mean, you got Bray Wyatt getting 8-8 through the table. So
that was really awesome. I also yelled at that guy for yelling at that kid at that event.
No, that was a different one.
Oh, is that a different
You're
one?
Blurring them together.
I am blurring them together.
I remember it.
Yeah, see, that's why I keep you around, Professor.
Okay, well, what's your question?
So my question, as I said, you have to look to the future. So my first thought was I was going to ask you, who do you think will be all the world champions next year? And then I thought, that's kind of dumb. That's, you know, too soon. I don't want that. That's too easy. I could say anyone. So my question to you, Diesel, is I want you to we're going to pretend the brand split is still going to exist in 5 years. I want you to give me who you think the WWE champion is going to be, who the Universal Champion is going to be, who the SmackDown and Raw Women's Champion is going to be, and who you think the NXT Champion will be. You can give me the NXT Women's Champion if you want, but those are such guesswork that I don't want to make you do that, so I'm only going to make you do the NXT Champion. 5 years ahead.
I think 5 years is too far for three.
All right, fine. We'll go with three. Mine still work for three.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, I mean, NXT would be really hard for 5 years.
I know. That's why I only did the champion, because it's literally like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You don't even know who'll be there.
But, I mean, oh, man, it could you don't even know. I mean, you could have a situation where AJ Styles, like when AJ Styles came into the company and, like, he was perceived as a mid-carder and that's it. And then he climbed the ladder real fast and became WWE champion. Or you could have situations where a guy comes in and is like Mike Bennett.
Or Apollo Crews.
Well, Mike Bennett's even...
He's fresher in mind.
Well, he also got more of a push. He had that entrance at, I believe it was Backlash.
It's always Backlash.
Yeah, and had that debut and had that opening feud with Sami Zayn. And now look at him. He's just barely on SmackDown. I mean, he's more of a jobber than... He's probably a top jobber right now.
Well, you know that he is dealing with a pain pill addiction.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that too. I forgot about that.
But yeah, so that's one of his main issues right now. So he's trying to deal with that. But still, stop trying to work around the question.
No, I'm just saying.
3 years in advance. I know, I'm just grinding your gears, if you will.
So I'm just saying, people that aren't there yet that I think that might be there might get a raw deal.
Yeah, well.
So.
I need five answers. I'll count them down for you.
I mean, I don't know who's going to be in either brand, so I'll just name two guys who I think will be champions. So
fair enough. 3 years from now. One of them,
I'd have to assume, would be Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
And
I would. Are you going to say he's going to be on Raw or SmackDown?
Oh, I wasn't going to say which one. I just said he was going to be one of the champions. I don't know. I mean that'd be – he'd probably be on Raw.
All right. So then who do you got for your SmackDown champion?
I would go with Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre. So KO, a.k.a. Kenny Omega, and Drew McIntyre are your world heavyweight and your universal champions.
And I feel pretty good about those picks.
I'm not going to lie. Those are some pretty good picks.
So now I got to pick for the women.
For the women's champions.
Well, I'm going to say Charlotte is still going to be the queen of the women's division, so she'll probably be – I don't know what show she'll be on because she's been on both already.
She has been on both, but I just pick one.
Raw.
All right, so Charlotte and Kenny Omega are your two biggest champions on Raw right now.
And I'd probably say Bayley on SmackDown.
Bayley on SmackDown, really?
Yeah, I think they're going to try to rebuild her and it might work, and – 3 years from now, she could be a heel, totally different character. I don't know.
Yeah, you just never know. That's why it's fun to think to the future.
I just think she still has whatever it is in her, and people still like her. I don't care. She got booed in Canada. It was Canada.
Yeah, Canada's
and people Canadian. Are making way too big a deal about that. So I'll go with Bayley. I'm sure Alexa will have a few more reigns. So will Sasha, Nia Jax, but I'll say Bayley.
All right, and then finally, the NXT champion will be.
Wow. I'm just going to go with a random one. And it's going to be really random. I'm just trying to think of his name right now. That's why I haven't told you yet.
Delay.
Oh, Hanson from War Machine.
Hanson from War Machine. Wow, that is a really random one.
I think that if he had a singles push, he could.
Yeah,
NXT champion for sure.
I think I don't know. I think Roe would go farther as a singles competitor.
They'd be battling for the title. Obviously, come in as War Machine, and then
they break up, and one of them becomes War, and the other one just ends as Machine.
I think that Hanson would be the heel, and then Roe would be the face.
All right, fair enough. So, just quick follow up question, just because I know you said you wouldn't know who, but. Do you have any strong inkling on any of those, if they be heels or faces, as champion? Any of the people you've said? KO or Kenny Omega?
Kenny Omega would be a heel.
Okay. Drew McIntyre?
I would like Drew McIntyre to be a heel, but I think he'll be a face.
Okay. Then we have Charlotte.
Hopefully Charlotte's a heel.
All right. So far everyone's a heel.
No, I said
I know you did, but you want everyone to be a heel.
But I'm saying Charlotte will be a heel because it's better. And obviously Bayley will be a face.
Yeah, they'll be a face.
I'm not gonna go with that heel thing I suggested earlier.
That's probably a good call. And then clearly you said Hanson would be your face champion on NXT.
I'd be the heel champion.
Oh, the heel champion. Yeah. So basically, I like your style because they're all heels and heels are way better than faces. All right, you ready for mine?
Go for it.
All right. On Raw, I have to agree with you, and I'm also going with Kenny Omega. I really honestly think the reason that they've had all three of the Kenny Omega Okada matches this year is because he is going to WWE after this year. He's not going to be there anymore, so they're trying to get all of these great matches in right now, right here, so that they can say, hey, you want to see the best wrestling product on the planet? You watch these matches, and you'll see it. So I got Kenny Omega as my Raw champion. I have Adam Cole, baby, as my SmackDown champion. And since this would be 3 years from now, this would also be leading to a huge battle at Survivor Series between a Kenny Omega-led team and an Adam Cole-led team for the Survivor Series match as the champions. And it would probably have something to do with the club some way or other way. But yes, so that's also a little fantasy booking for you. This is actually what spawned this question in my head because I was thinking about Survivor Series and I was like, what would be the best team captains I could think of off the top of my head. And Adam Cole and Kenny Omega popped into my head.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles will be on Adam Cole's team. Okay, but I have to keep going now. So those are my two main champions. My women's champion on Raw is Asuka. I think she is going to debut soon on Raw, and I don't think she's going to leave Raw. I think she's going to be the crown jewel of the entire Raw women's division because she's that awesome. Once again, I'm bringing up my old point because she's amazing and she's going to be the best female wrestler on the planet in the WWE.
Until she faces Kairi Sane.
Yeah, and that match I cannot wait for. And I will tell you, I really thought about maybe doing Kairi Sane as my SmackDown Women's Champion, but I thought that was a little too far, so I pulled it back. But my SmackDown Women's Champion is actually Carmella. I think she's going to win this Money in the Bank. She'll lose it for a while. I think she will be the first ever two-time women's winner of the Money in the Bank match. And she will be kind of like the Edge character, really, you know, cashing in at the most opportune moment.
Technically, she is the first two-time
women's Money in the Bank winner. Yes, all right. So first three-time women's Money in the Bank winner then.
There you go. Okay, fair enough.
And then finally, don't cut me off. I got my NXT champion still. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Diesel.
I'm sorry. I cut you off.
I'm in a feisty mood.
I did not realize. I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. But my NXT champion, the reason I wanted to say it is because you're really going to like this answer. And it's Lio Rush. Because I think he's going to need a few more years in NXT. I think he'll be down there for a little while. Adjusting to the WWE style with all the cameras and everything. And he's super young, so I think they could keep him down there for a little bit. So in 3 years' time, I think Lio Rush will be the NXT champion.
Yeah, that's a good one. Hopefully, I hear he has kind of a bad attitude, so hopefully he fixes that because he is very talented and he could go far in the WWE.
Oh, yeah, definitely. William Regal and Matt Bloom will smack the crap out of him, get that attitude out of there. Oh, in case you want to know as well for my heels and faces, Kenny Omega would be a face. Adam Cole would be the heel. Asuka would be a face. Carmella would be the heel. Lio Rush would be a face.
Hey, so for fun, do you want to do women's champion for NXT?
Sure, why not?
I'm just going to do another random one just from watching the Mae Young Classic. I'm going to go with Rachel Evers, a.k.a. Rachel Ellering.
Ooh, that's a really good one.
Yeah, she's probably my favorite one in the tournament.
Yeah, I still go with Kairi Sane as my favorite, but she would be up there in the top three at least.
Yeah, I got that Lance Storm bias right now because of Killing the Town, but...
Yeah, he yelled at me on Twitter because I used her wrong Twitter handle, and he yelled at me.
It was still pretty awesome, though.
It was. I like whenever anybody who is famous talks to me on Twitter. And then, fine, I will give you my women's champion. I'll also go with someone really random. I'll actually go with my favorite independent women worker right now, which is Mandy Leone. She currently works for Ring of Honor. She is gorgeous, and she is a phenomenal worker. So I'm going to go with her as my NXT Women's Champion in 3 years.
That's very possible.
Yeah. I think these are lists are pretty good. Do you want to run through them again? Or I feel like we've repeated ourselves at least 15 times now.
No, I'm good with it. I really like my Beardman Hansen pick for NXT Champion, though, as a heel. And having Roe Chasen, too. I like that.
That would be really funny. I won't lie to you. Ding, ding, ding.
That's the sound of the bell, kids, and it is time for Pro Wrestling History 101.
Whoop, whoop.
So take your seats and let's get on with some class.
I am ready to learn, Professor.
Got some fun tidbits today.
Yeah, tidbits.
An interesting history lesson. Starting out, with the week of 9/15 to 9/21.
Isn't today the 14th, though?
It is, but we were recording on Fridays. Now we're recording on Thursdays, and I thought since the podcast is going to be coming out on Friday, why don't we do it on the start on the day the podcast comes out?
I like your style, Professor. Once again, it's your class. You run it how you want.
And plus, I already did the Thursday one on last week's episode, so we don't want to do it over again.
It's true. We already talked about that. So hit me up with November. Wait, it's not November.
No, not yet.
September 15th.
Yes, September 15th, 1998. Raw in Sacramento, California, Jacqueline defeated Sable to become the WWF Women's Champion. The title had been vacated since December 1995 when Alundra Blaze, or Medusa in WCW, threw the belt in the trash on Nitro.
On Live on Nitro. I remember that specifically. That was a crazy night.
And I do not like her because of that, and I can't get over that fact. I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of people can't get over that fact. She still gets backstage heat for it.
I don't like it. I do not like it.
I agree.
Disrespectful.
Very disrespectful.
So then moving on to 2003 at another Raw in Columbia, South Carolina. Fabulous Moolah defeated Victoria in just 30 seconds. So the story for this goes that Vince McMahon was making good on his promise from a long time ago when he said that if Moolah made it to the age of 80, she could wrestle a match. And it was her 80th birthday. I believe her 80th birthday was right around there. And so gave her a match and she won in 30 seconds.
Wow. Look at Vince McMahon holding true to his word.
And then post-match, RKO out of nowhere on Moolah.
Oh, I just saw the gif of this. Yeah, I know what we're talking about. That's hilarious. Oh, Randy Orton, the legend killer. Those were fun days.
And also on this Raw, Lita made her first in-ring appearance since suffering a broken neck on the set of the show Dark Angel in 2002.
Oh, this was a very interesting Raw.
Yes, and I kind of remember it a little bit. I remember her return. Remember, she got a big pop.
Oh, yeah. Everybody who returns. I think the biggest pop I've ever heard, though, is when Triple H came back from his quad injury. And on that Raw, like, I've never heard. I was watching it on TV, and I had to turn my TV down because the pop was so loud.
That was a big pop. But speaking of Lita, she was all right in the Mae Young Classic. She's very likable.
She's very likable. I mean, with a little more seasoning, she could be much better. I think they should have given it to someone like, you know, Renee Young.
Maybe we'll be talking about Renee Young later in this history lesson.
Ooh!
Well, let's move on to September 16th.
September 16th.
We're going back to Raw, this time in Denver, Colorado.
Ooh.
Do you remember Rico?
I do remember Rico. He had one of the best spin kicks I've ever seen in my life.
He did. And he was also the manager of Billy and Chuck.
I do remember that. He was their fashion guy.
Yeah, their stylist.
Their stylist. That's the word I was looking for.
And I really like that gimmick. I think it was pretty funny. I really like Billy Gunn.
I like Chuck Palumbo, and I like Billy Gunn, and I liked Rico.
It was really funny. And the payoff at the end when Eric Bischoff was the priest.
I did not know that was Eric Bischoff. Oh, I had no idea. That's one of the most surprised I've ever been watching wrestling. Is when he said, what was it, the 3 second? It was
3 minutes.
3 minute warning. Yeah. I was like, no.
Rosie and Jamal.
That's Eric Bischoff?
He ripped off the face.
Just started pulling off all the prosthetics. Yeah. Awesome. It got me.
Okay, well, that's kind of refresher in case no one remembered who Rico was. So.
Yep.
So, anyways, so in 2002 at this Raw in Denver, Colorado, Rico scored one of the biggest upsets in WWE history when he defeated Ric Flair.
What?
I think I remember this like vaguely in my memory. I think he was a face.
Is this during the Evolution days?
I think so.
Yeah, so Ric Flair would have been a heel.
I believe so. I don't know. I didn't do enough research, but I think they were pushing him as a face. This might have been before Billy and Chuck.
No, this would have been after Billy and Chuck because he did wrestle for a while after Billy and Chuck, and he went for the Cruiserweight title for a while because we saw the Cruiserweight title back then. But yeah, he was a face for a while.
Well, maybe I got the year wrong because I think Billy and Chuck was after 02.
I
think it was like more like 03, 04.
Yeah, possibility.
So maybe I got the year mixed up or whatever publication I got this from. They messed up. Let's go with that.
Yeah, Professor, you don't make mistakes.
Exactly. So at least we know Rico beat Ric Flair on Raw.
We do know that. That's what everyone knows in the podcasting world right now is that Rico has a win over Ric Flair.
And so moving on to 2003, this time we're going to SmackDown, changing it up a bit.
Yeah.
Raleigh, North Carolina. We've been going all over the country so far. Los Guerreros, which is Eddie and Chavo.
Yes.
Defeated the world's greatest tag team, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, to win the WWF Tag Team Championship.
Wow. It was still the WWF Tag Team Championship? Oh, yeah, because that's when SmackDown had it. Wouldn't it be WWE, buddy?
Yep, I read it wrong. Yep. Sorry, there's a couple WWF facts, and you already said one about Jacqueline and Sable.
Oh, yeah, no, you're totally good. I was just making sure.
We were talking about it before we started recording about, they used to call it the World Wrestling Federation. That was awesome.
Yeah, and it was on your brain. I understand, Professor.
So anyway, so they won the tag titles. I believe that they won it deceivingly.
Oh, of course they did.
And in the main event of this show was when Brock Lesnar defeated Kurt Angle in the hour-long Iron Man match 5-4.
I remember that match vividly because I've watched it back a few times because it's probably the best Iron Man match the WWE's ever put on.
I would agree. I'm not a big fan of Iron Man matches, but I like that one a lot.
That one actually had drama in it, I feel like, and the tension built. Like, I hate the Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Iron Man match.
Yeah, it's boring.
It's so boring. And you can fight us about that. I swear I will go to the hilt with you because it is so, so, so boring. It's 1 hour of rest holds.
I agree. Like, watch them both and tell me which one's better. I guarantee you it's Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and just, you know, take your nostalgia, take your sunglasses off, and actually watch the match. Not because it's Bret Hart versus HBK. It does not make it the greatest
Iron Man. And it makes it worse because it went to overtime.
Exactly.
Except Shawn Michaels' entrance was awesome. That's when he came on the zip line.
Yep, that was a zip line entrance.
So moving on to 2011. Claudio Castagnoli signs a WWE developmental deal.
A.K.A. Cesaro.
Today he is known as Cesaro.
Hey, Gold Star.
He's found moderate success in the WWE so far. He's a former United States champion, and he won the inaugural
Andre the Giant
Memorial Battle Royal. It was with the memorial part.
When he chucked the Big Show over the top rope, that was one of the coolest moments ever. He picked him up like he was nothing and actually power slam or body slammed him over the top rope.
Yep, that was at WrestleMania 30, and that's when he finally became like a star.
Yep.
Started getting a push, and then they took it away, and they gave him a push again, and they took it away.
I think his current incarnation with Cesaro, or I mean Sheamus, as the Bar might be my favorite Cesaro ever so far.
They are tag team champions. I was going to mention that too, but I actually like the...
They're not tag team champions.
I mean, they were former tag team champions. I'm sorry. But I like Cesaro when he was with Tyson Kidd.
Ooh, that was a really good one. They always had the headphones on and they did the big swing into the drop kick.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was the sickest. They should do the big swing into the bro kick.
Oh, man. No, because...
Sheamus would kill someone.
Exactly.
Sheamus would, honest to God, kill someone.
I probably already suggested that and they turned it down.
They were like, no, no, bro, no.
Okay, moving on to September 17th.
September 17th.
Going back all the way to 1981, before our time.
Wow.
Kansas City, Missouri. On this day, Ric Flair defeated Dusty Rhodes to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship for the first time.
Wow.
I thought that was a pretty notable fact, and it had to be on the lesson today.
Yeah, no, that's very impressive. The first. Wow, that's crazy.
And then 1986 in Salisbury, Maryland, the WWF debuted a new commentary team, and they were legendary.
Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler.
1986, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 96 for a second there.
Nope, it was at a wrestling challenge taping, random show. It was Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah, I should have guessed that right away. Now I feel really dumb.
I get it. You know who I like.
I do.
I like both of them, both those teams. So.
Yeah, that's probably the greatest commentary team ever, those two right there.
So we're moving on to 2005 in Long Island, New York. Got a pop quiz for you, Chad.
Darn it.
Remember about a month ago when we did Pro Wrestling History 101, CM Punk lost the ROH world title.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who he lost it to?
Yeah, he lost it to Jamie Noble.
Do you remember what his name was?
His name in Ring of Honor, I really should know because I remembered all these facts about this match. What is his name?
James Gibson. Okay, so...
Oh, that wasn't the pop quiz? Darn it.
That was the pop quiz.
Oh, nice.
For bonus, in this on 2005 in Long Island, New York, on September 17th, he lost the Ring of Honor world title. For extra credit, who did he lose it to?
Ooh. Give me 1 second.
Da, 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 time's up.
All right. I'm going to go with Jay Briscoe.
No. Brian Danielson.
Darn it. I was going to – he was my second – guess. Now he's my third guess. I was going to guess Samoa Joe next, and then it would have been Brian Danielson was my third guess.
That's okay. You already got an A on that one because that was extra credit. So
whoop, whoop.
Yeah, Brian Danielson winning his first and only Ring of Honor world title. And it won't be his only because next year he's going to win it from Cody Rhodes. That's him calling it right now.
Yeah, I know you are very high on this bandwagon that he is leaving for Ring of Honor, and I tend to agree with you.
And first night in, he's taking it from Cody Rhodes, and it's going to be like WrestleMania 30 all over again. People are going to be needing to change their underwear.
Do you understand that the episode that Daniel Bryan / Bryan Danielson goes back to Ring of Honor will be the most watched episode of Ring of Honor of all time?
They'll probably beat Raw that week.
Oh, yeah. It will destroy everything.
It'll take all the WWE's fans and turn them into Ring of Honor fans.
Yeah, it will take the pro wrestling world by storm. That episode will break records for pro wrestling.
And I cannot wait.
I can't either. Maybe WWE will let them wrestle.
No, I don't think so.
I don't either, really. But maybe.
Maybe.
You never say never.
Nope, never say never. So we're going to move on to September 18th. Otherwise,
September 18th.
So, 2004 in Highland, Indiana, AJ Styles defeated Samoa Joe and Bryan Danielson in the final match to win the 2004 IWA Mid-South Invitational. Ted Petty Invitational, sorry.
Oh.
Do you know who Ted Petty is?
The name sounds familiar, but I can't off that
way. He was Rocco Rock from the tag team Public Enemy.
Okay.
They were in ECW, WCW, yeah, and WWF. They're the tag team that back then they were the Acolytes.
Yep.
They took them out. They basically had a shoot fight on Sunday Night Eat, and that was their last match in the WWF.
Oh.
But so they have a tournament in the IWA Mid-South Forum, and AJ Styles won in 2004. The tournament is a two-day tournament, and this show was regarded as one of the best independent shows in professional wrestling history.
Wow, we should try and find this.
Well, I got more stats for you.
Oh my goodness, I'm excited.
Other future world champions that participated in this tournament include Roderick Strong.
Wow.
Chris Sabin.
Damn.
Austin Aries.
Good God.
CM Punk.
Jesus.
And Nigel McGuinness.
I am going to poop my pants right now.
Oh, I already did. So that's all I got for that one. We're going to move on to 2014. At an Impact taping in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Bobby Roode, before he was glorious, defeated Bobby Lashley to win the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Nice.
I agree.
Yeah, this has been when he was in his rich guy gimmick during his TNA, when because he was always beer money. He was the money. So he was always the rich guy. But this is when he was an ultra jerk on TNA.
Yep, I don't believe it was his first title run. I think his other one was the longest TNA heavyweight champion title reign of all time.
Yep, sounds about right.
So that's all I got for the 18th. Let's move on to the 19th.
September 19th.
2004. The trailer for The Rise and Fall of ECW was released. The DVD wasn't released until November 16th, but the DVD would eventually surpass WrestleMania 20 as the most bought home video in WWE history.
Wow.
And would spark the revival of the promotion the next year.
Man, Professor, you've got some interesting tidbits this year. I did not know where you were going with that one, and now I'm blown away.
I can't believe that it was the highest sold video.
I'm sure it probably still is. Yeah, because they don't buy videos anymore.
I mean, that was 2004, though. So, I'll be a safe bet that it probably is, but
you never know. You never know. But I would say it's a safe bet.
We got a birthday on September 19th, finally.
Birthday!
Remember when I said we might be talking about Renee Young later? It's her birthday on September 19th on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, happy early birthday, Renee Young. Just know that we love you, and not in a weird way. We just think you're awesome. And we want Talking Smack to come back so bad. It's all we want. All we want.
And Party Hardy.
Party Hardy with Dean Ambrose.
She's turning 32.
32.
And moving on to the 20th.
September 20th.
Which is, I have a lot of tidbits here for September 20th.
Yeah, he told me in our pre-show meeting, and by pre-show meeting, I mean when he was texting me earlier today, that September 20th was a big day in pro wrestling. So I'm very excited right now.
And I'm pretty sure I didn't even get everything.
Well, of course you didn't get everything. There's so much, so much.
So we're going to start out in 1985.
It's
Long Island, New York once again. Captain Lou Albano, when he was 52, defeated 67-year-old Classy Freddie Blassie in a steel cage match. This would be Blassie's final match of his career.
Wow.
Thought that was a good tidbit right there. I liked Classy Freddie Blassie.
Yeah, no, those are both good, great competitors. I like both
and
those people.
And Lou Albano, Captain Lou Albano, freaked me out with that little band he had through his cheek.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like it at all.
Well, we're going to go to Japan for this one, Chad.
I always love a good Japan fact.
1993, Nagoya, Japan. Shinya Hashimoto defeated the Great Muta to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Okay.
This win would end Muta's 400-day run as champion, and at the time was a record for New Japan.
Yeah, sounds about right. The Great Muta is one of the greatest competitors in all of Japanese history, and he wrestled way into his 50s.
Hashimoto would break the record with a 489-day reign spanning parts of 96 and 97.
Jeez.
So I don't know if that's the record still.
I don't think so. I think Tanahashi has it at this point because he held it through like two and a half. Like he held it through two Wrestle Kingdoms and then a little more. I'm pretty sure Tanahashi has the record right now. I think Okada's getting like – Okada has almost the most like combined – yeah, cumulative days as champion. But I think Tanahashi has the actual current longest reign. He was the ace of New Japan for like 15 years.
Okay, you know better than me.
I love me some New Japan. Next week, I'm talking about New Japan next week. Bringing it back.
Okay, well, now we're going to talk about some 2005 SmackDown.
Yeah, that's the good years.
Lubbock, Texas. Bobby Lashley made his WWE television debut defeating Simon Dean in less than 3 minutes.
Wow.
Continuity, folks.
Continuity. We bring it all back around.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to last week's podcast. You'll understand.
And you will understand.
And speaking of continuity.
Hey-o.
Remember last week when I talked about Jeff Hardy and the troubles that he got himself into?
Yeah, I do remember this.
Well, this week, on September 20th, 2011, Matt Hardy got himself into some trouble too.
Oh, did he now?
And I didn't know about this one. I knew about the Jeff Hardy one, but this one, I don't know, it slipped right by me. It says, so this is what I got written on my notes here. It said, Matt Hardy is arrested by the Moore County, North Carolina Sheriff's Office after a search warrant executed on his home found that he was in possession of anabolic steroids and ecstasy.
Oh!
Not as much as Jeff, but I can see why he was broken.
Yeah, I mean, that would lead to some breaking.
And that's not all. Hardy was charged with possession of controlled substances with intent to sell or deliver said substance, maintaining a place to keep the substances, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Hardy, who wasn't home at the time of the raid on his house, turned himself in later.
Oh, well, at least he turned himself in.
This was Hardy's second arrest in as many weeks and his third in a month. He was arrested on DWI charges in late August that led to his release from TNA, then arrested on reckless driving a week prior to the drug arrest.
After, I didn't know Matt Hardy was in that much trouble.
I know. I never heard this story. I don't know how it slipped by me, but...
This is about when he goes to Ring of Honor next then, right? Because then he gets fired from TNA and goes to Ring of Honor.
Well, after his arrest, Matt Hardy released a post video on YouTube announcing he would enter a 3-month WWE-sponsored rehab program, a program he would be kicked out of after only 2 months.
And, wow, Matt going the same route as his brother right there.
Yeah, so those Hardy boys, they're crazy.
They know how to party, that's for sure. Yeah,
they're still going, though.
They are, and they are cleaned up. They broke, and then they reformed.
So 2012.
All right.
TNA announces via a press release that Impact would be a live show through the remainder of the year.
Oh, God, this is when it really gets bad for TNA, isn't it?
Yeah, it resulted in disappointing ratings on top of the added expense of doing live telecast, which would lead to huge budget cuts and talent releases that are still being felt to this very day.
Yeah, I remember when this all went down. This is when I pretty much stopped watching TNA.
Yeah, it was a bad idea to go up against Raw on Monday nights.
They thought they had a good idea, but they did not have the power yet to go against Raw, and it killed them.
They were years and years and years away
years,
from that.
Years.
They wanted to go live on Thursday night. That would have been fine. SmackDown's on Friday.
Yeah. No, it would have made sense to go live any other night of the week besides against Raw, which already pulls at least 3 million viewers every week. So
Eric Bischoff thought he could do it. Yeah. Hulk Hogan thought he could do it. Dixie Carter was not a very good anything.
Dixie Carter is one of the worst things that ever happened to pro wrestling. It's really ridiculous.
And that's why they're in the turmoil they're in right now.
No, 100% true.
Well, let's get some happy news. We got another birthday.
Birthday!
One of the Four Horsemen.
Heyo, Arn.
Arn Anderson. Ooh! That's his gold star.
Yes.
He turns 59.
I think I saw that on Twitter. I won't lie to you. I'm pretty sure I saw somebody say it was coming up. So, but I'm still taking my gold star.
No, that's fine. I didn't say I was going to take it away, so you can keep it.
Thank you.
So, moving on to day 7 of our 7-day week here.
Yeah.
September 21st.
September 21st.
We're
going
to hop in a time machine and travel all the way back to 1933.
Holy goodness.
Salvador Lutterwolf Gonzalez. Sorry, I do not speak Spanish, so my pronunciations may be wrong or sound weird.
Yeah, I understand.
So he promoted his first professional wrestling card under the banner of Empresa Mexicana de la Lucha Libre, which was known as EMLL, which translated to Mexican Wrestling Enterprise.
Okay.
Today, the promotion is known as CMLL, which is Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre, which translates to World Wrestling Council, and it's not to be confused with the Puerto Rico promotion by the same name, which I skipped over a few tidbits from them. I never heard of them before, and then
I don't know anything about Puerto Rican wrestling, but I do know about CMLL.
I do know that Bruiser Brody got murdered in Puerto Rico.
Yes, I did know that.
And so, CMLL, and it is the world's oldest surviving promotion since Jim Crockett's promotion was sold in 1988.
That is a really awesome fact, and I do love me some CMLL. I watch it every once in a while. They got some clowns going on right now.
That's AAA.
Oh, that's AAA. You're right.
Okay, 1999, SmackDown in Dallas, Texas. This was an interesting SmackDown, and I do not remember this, and I should remember this because it sounds like a very interesting show. So basically, Triple H had to wrestle in 5 matches on this SmackDown.
Oh, really now?
Does this ring a bell to you?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't pull anything in right now.
The reason he had to wrestle these 5 matches was because Vince McMahon put Triple H's spot at the upcoming Unforgiven pay-per-view at stake in the 5 matches. And Triple H had to win 3 out of the 5 to keep his spot.
Okay.
And it was a 6-pack match.
Oh.
So I have the 5 matches listed in order right now. So I'll list them off. The first one, the Big Show defeated Triple H in a chokeslam challenge, which just seems pretty silly.
That seems like a little bit of an unfair competition.
And all these are gimmick matches, too. So
nice. I don't remember this at all.
Has to do with the wrestler he's wrestling.
Okay.
In the second match, he defeated Kane in an Inferno match. Yeah, in SmackDown, I do not remember this.
I don't remember this at all.
In the third match, Undertaker was supposed to be in this match, but he was being written off TV because he had a growing injury. So Midian and Viscera replaced him, and they defeated Triple H in a 2-on-1 handicap casket match.
Oh.
And Triple H originally won the match until Shane McMahon amended the rules, forcing Triple H to put both men in the casket. And the fourth match, Triple H defeated Mankind in a boiler room brawl.
How do I not remember this?
And in the fifth match, Triple H defeated The Rock in a Brahma bull rope match, giving him the 3 wins necessary to remain in the 6-pack challenge at Unforgiven.
Oh, my God. How do we not remember this? We have to look this up.
I'm sure it's on the network.
Yeah, we have got to check that out on the network because this sounds insane.
I agree. We should do it.
Ding, ding, ding.
And that's class, kids.
hey, get your snacks, get your cookies, and enjoy the rest of your day.
So that was a fun little history lesson today. So we're going to be moving on. We're going to discuss some Raw and SmackDown, maybe some NXT and 205 Live. We have some time, so I'm going to start out with Raw, and Chad has the card up in front of him, so I'm going to pass the Roman Reigns on to Chad.
Hey, the Roman Reigns actually opened the show this week, and he defeated Jason Jordan in a really good match.
I really like this match a lot. I liked it more than the one he had last week against Cena, Jason Jordan, that is.
Yeah, no, I honestly think maybe Jason Jordan should start just an open challenge every week and open Raw every week.
Yeah, just let him get over by his wrestling and just kind of slowly let people forget about this whole angle.
I didn't mean
to pun right there, but no pun intended.
That's a really funny little pun that you didn't try for. So clearly after that match, we had once again another John Cena and Roman Reigns promo, which was once again awesome.
Yeah, John Cena is kind of getting into his previous rap gimmick that he had back in the early 2000s in the Ruthless Aggression era.
Yeah, no, he is ripping Roman Reigns apart every single time he puts a mic in his hand. He came out with the two mics and he was using them like guns, and he put them in his holsters and everything. It was hilarious. I liked everything about it.
And I think Roman Reigns has improved every week in these two, so again, better. I mean, this one wasn't better than the previous weeks, but as a whole, as with the Roman Reigns' performance and John Cena's performance, they are getting better.
Yeah, I think Roman Reigns needs to cut back on calling him a bitch ass. Like, it's really...
They're telling him to say that, though.
I know they are, but it's too much. He keeps using it too much. It's overuse of that term.
I did like John Cena's closing line, though, about... I'm like a drug test. You can't get past me.
Oh, that was probably one of the best lines in this entire feud.
And you know, he came up with that one on his own.
Oh, 100%. Because he's John Cena, and he might be the best promo man the WWE has ever seen.
I think he might be. He's Tom Brady of the promo.
Yeah, you're damn right. So the next match on the card, I'm pretty sure wasn't on the Hulu version, which was Sasha Banks defeating Emma.
That was not on the Hulu version.
Yep, don't remember it at all, so we're not going to talk about it. The next thing on the card, then, is Universal Champion Brock Lesnar daring Braun Strowman to fight him, and with the entire promo with Paul Heyman, and then finally Braun Strowman coming down to the ring. And he no-sold the German suplex, which might have been the coolest thing I've ever seen, because he was to his feet before Brock Lesnar was to his feet. And Brock Lesnar delivered the move.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar's face when he turned around and saw that Braun Strowman was standing up staring at him, it was priceless. He sold that look 100%.
Brock Lesnar is one of the most underrated sellers of all time. He doesn't have to do it all the time, but when he does sell, he is one of the greatest. He's so good at it.
And then he got power slammed right in the middle of the ring again. I don't know which match I'm more excited for, the Braun Strowman Brock Lesnar match or the John Cena Roman Reigns.
They aren't kidding. Like, I know that the WWE announcers speak in hyperbole all the time, but for when they're saying this is a WrestleMania level card, they are not speaking at all. And this is a true thing. It is a WrestleMania level card right now for No Mercy.
And I'm excited. I am very excited.
I am so excited for No Mercy. This is probably the most excited I've been for a brand exclusive pay-per-view since Elimination Chamber. Like, and I was really excited for that because I was really sure finally my man Wyatt was going to get his championship win. But, I mean, it didn't amount to anything. I don't want to talk about it. But I'm saying this is the most excited I've been in a long time.
I think this is the most excited I am for a brand exclusive pay-per-view since the brand split.
Yeah.
So it's going to be – these two matches are going to make the whole pay-per-view. The rest of the show could suck. And it doesn't matter because you got these two matches on the card, and they're going to sell it, and they're gonna bring home the bacon.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be amazing. So the next thing on the card, once again, I know wasn't on the Hulu version, which was Bray Wyatt defeating Goldust.
Finally, they have Bray Wyatt doing something good, and they don't put it on the Hulu version.
Exactly. He finally gets a win, and they're like, nah, bro.
Well, the best part was after the match, he wiped all of Goldust's paint. Face paint off, and you're just laying in the middle of the ring as Dustin Reynolds.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt's a crazy man, and I like it a lot. I did see that on YouTube. The next thing on the card was the Raw Tag Team Division brawling amongst itself. That was when Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins were out on commentary. We were supposed to have a match between the Bar and the Club. And the Club, the Bar ended up attacking Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, who were at commentary.
Yep. So, and then the Club got involved. And then after that, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose went back to Kurt Angle and demanded a match with all four of the opponents. And he said he had to go find a tag team partner. And Dean Ambrose said that he's like, I don't care. We'll go to Disneyland. We'll get Mickey Mouse and Batman be our tag partners. And then Kurt Angle had one of his funniest lines. He was like, Batman, he would be a good tag team partner. And I laughed so hard because I'm a comic book nerd. But I'm not kidding you. I laughed so very hard.
Yeah, that was a good one. I don't think it's better than the Enzo Amore one when you can't teach that. He's like, not any college I've ever heard of.
That was also a really good one.
But, no, I really liked that backstage segment. I thought for the segment on the stage, the only good part really was when the Shield was on commentary. They were pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
My favorite part when they were on commentary is when they were like, hey, did the mics just pick that up? You can't say this. This is a family show. When the Bar were yelling at them from the part of the ramp, and that's what started the fight. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But I don't know. This whole – we'll get to the whole match later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. So the next thing on the card, once again, wasn't on the Hulu version. But Elias – he's only called Elias now. I don't know that he's dropped Samson. He's only listed as Elias on the website. He defeated Kalisto.
Poor Kalisto.
I don't understand why he's still not on 205 Live.
I don't either. They need stars, and he could be a star on 205 Live.
Why did they put Enzo and not Kalisto on 205 Live?
I don't know.
I completely had forgotten about Kalisto. I didn't know existed anymore.
Could be your mystery brain buster question of the week.
I have no idea. I don't have an answer for that. The next match was my favorite part of the entire card, which was John Cena versus Braun Strowman. In a no DQ match, not a no DQ match, just in a match, and John Cena won this match via disqualification, but he should have won it earlier in the match, but they didn't disqualify him then, but then he disqualified him later.
Yeah, this match should have gone on last for sure.
Yeah, it was the best match in the
entire tournament. I don't know why they waited or why they had it in the middle of the show. Maybe it's because no one watches the third hour.
Yeah.
But, he should have been disqualified. Braun Strowman should have been disqualified because he hit him with the stairs on the outside.
And the refs clearly saw it. He was watching him do it.
And then they brought the stairs in, and then he power slammed him on the stairs, which I thought was a very creative way to give John Cena the victory again.
It was. And that's how you put John Cena over without actually having to put him over.
Yeah, because there's no way he could have beat Braun Strowman after he's about to go for the title.
No. If he would have won over Braun Strowman right there, that would have been the worst decision the WWE could have made.
Yeah, it was a good match.
It was the best match of the entire card. I enjoyed everything about it. Once again, Braun Strowman, I've tweeted about this multiple times. I couldn't imagine myself saying this. When I think back to when Braun Strowman debuted, and I went, who the hell is this giant man who can't wrestle? To thinking to now when I go, Braun Strowman might be my favorite part of Raw pretty much every week. And it's insane. It was like a year and a half ago. Like, it's such a vast improvement so quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that long either.
No, it seems like he just went from being horrible to amazing in a span of nothing.
I can't argue with that. That's a good way of explaining it, I guess. He is really good now. He's definitely a top tier wrestler. He definitely deserves to be champion. I don't know if he's going to win at No Mercy, but he's going to be champion, multiple time champion. He might even be he's going to be the monster in the company for years to come.
Oh, yeah. No, and he took out the Big Show, and I don't know. I'm not going to give away my predictions or anything, but I'm considering picking Braun Strowman over Brock Lesnar. So next on the card, we had The Miz and Maurice announcing they are having a child. And then we had...
This is legit, too. It's not a storyline or anything like that.
It is not kayfabe, because I looked it up before I tweeted about it, because I wanted to make sure. But it is a true thing. Maurice is actually pregnant. And then the pest, Enzo Amore, came out and mouthed off. And then he got his ass beat by The Miz and The Mistrage.
Yeah, but both of them cut good promos on Miz TV. I mean, they got real again. The Miz got real, real.
The Miz got so real that I felt bad for Enzo for like a half second until the end when he did say the "Who's your daddy" line, and that's when I was like, "Ooh, now you deserve anything that happens."
Yeah, not really though. I mean,
yeah, I know it's all kayfabe, but I'm just saying in kayfabe terms. But when Miz was cutting on him about why he got sent to 205 Live, that was harsh.
I do think that Enzo did hold his own, though, and it's really hard to hold your own against The Miz. And I do like that during the match, they got on the horn a couple times. I know a lot of people don't like that, but they don't do it very often. And when they do it, they did it right this time.
Oh, yeah, they did it 100% right.
And, yes, I did like the end when Enzo said, "Who's your daddy?" and got beat down, and that skull crushing finale when he was laying face down on the mat and he literally just picked up like dead weight in the full Nelson and slammed face first to the mat.
No, it was an absolute destroyer of a skull crushing finale. And that's a finishing move that I really didn't enjoy when I first saw it. I'd seen it before. Jeff Jarrett did the exact same kind of thing. It was called the full stroke.
I don't remember what it was called.
I think it was the full stroke.
I don't pay attention to Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, but whatever. But I like Miz's way more because Jeff Jarrett's was more of a reverse side Russian leg sweep.
Yeah.
And Miz does the full Nelson, so I like his more. And then finally, in the main event of Raw, we had we can talk about the promo beforehand, but it led to an 8-man tag between Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, the Hardy Boys, versus The Bar and The Club together in an 8-man tag. Do you want to talk about the promo?
I do like that they went up to Jamie Noble. We get Jamie Noble in here again.
We get him again.
And Dean Malenko. And I don't know, they can't wrestle. They're in suits. It's like, well, when Jamie Noble was in J&J Security, he was always in a suit.
Yep, and he wrestled all the time.
And I thought that was good. I knew it was going to be the Hardys.
Yeah, I 100% knew it was going to be the Hardys. That's why I didn't really feel like talking about the promos. So I was the minute they go, "Oh, go find a tag team partner," I was like, "Well, it's going to be the Hardys."
But I do like that they asked Jamie Noble and Dean.
That was pretty funny. I did not see that coming. But the match itself was kind of crappy.
Yeah, this is the only thing I didn't like about Raw. Really,
the best part
was the botch.
The ref stopped counting for no apparent reason at all.
And Corey Graves goes, "Oh, he must have saw Matt Hardy coming in to break up the count and stop the count." It's like, can't do that.
That makes no sense, Corey Graves. I mean, good cover.
He saved the day because Booker T and Michael Cole didn't know how to save the situation.
Corey Graves is the best. He's probably the best announcer the WWE has. And by probably, I mean he's the best announcer the WWE has right now.
And he got the last word in, too, from Michael Cole. He said, "I'm going to Sin City."
Yeah, and you already talked to me about that. And it was one of the best parts of Raw. That was the final words that happened right before it cuts to black. "I'm going to Sin City."
That was great.
It was awesome. But as we said, kind of the final match. So what would you give Raw as a whole?
I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
A 4 out of 5? Solid score. I would probably tend to agree with you, and I would go with a solid 4 out of 5.
Well, we're going to keep going here, and we're going to go to Sin City with Corey Graves and discuss some SmackDown. And I will pass the Roman Reigns on to Chad once again.
Yeah, it's time to go right into SmackDown, the show I really enjoyed. So SmackDown opened this week once again with Kevin Owens. But this week he came out to give all of his plans for when it becomes the Kevin Owens show. And everything about it was amazing.
Yeah, talking about how he's going to sue every one of the McMahons. And he's talking about how the first thing he was going to do was fire Sami Zayn. And
yep.
That was a good one. And then he called out Vince McMahon and everything. And you know who came out?
Shane McMahon's music hit.
No, that's what I was going to say. And then, it wasn't Shane McMahon that came out.
Nope.
It was Dolph Ziggler dressed like Shane McMahon. He even did the little dance thing, and it was pretty funny. I didn't see it coming.
It was hilarious, and I loved it. I loved everything about this entire opening segment of SmackDown. I thought it was hilarious. I thought Kevin Owens' expressions, when at first he thought it was Shane McMahon, and then when he realized it was actually Dolph Ziggler, everything about Kevin Owens right now is just amazing on SmackDown.
I agree, and then he called out Vince McMahon again, and Daniel Bryan came and told him that Vince McMahon will be here later, and you're not going to like what he has to say.
Yeah, and once again, you know, he didn't really seem to care about it.
Home, he went backstage and started making more plans.
Yep, it was awesome. So the actual first match on the card then came up, which was the United States Open Challenge, which once again, I want to let the WWE know, if you tell us in advance who's going to be in the match, it's not an open challenge.
Yeah, I was really hoping that it was going to be Dolph Ziggler coming out as Ty Dillinger.
Oh, that would have been hilarious. I didn't even think of that.
But he didn't, and I thought the match was okay. Had the commercial break in the middle, so it seemed a lot shorter than it really was. And Ty Dillinger at the end of the match, like he was reaching for the ropes and then he turned away. It was just bad. It's bad end, I thought. I didn't like it very much at the end.
Yeah, no, and I tend to disagree with you because I actually really enjoyed that match. I didn't think it was their best match they had, but I still enjoyed everything about it. I really thought that Ty Dillinger was going to win when he had the tiebreaker.
I did think that when I thought the ref's hand was about to go down for three and it was a good kick out.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty awesome. So the next match on the card, or it wasn't a match actually, we had Jinder Mahal coming out and cutting a promo on Shinsuke Nakamura, which I know there was some really bad jokes in there and everything like that, but I honestly think this might have been the best Jinder Mahal promo he's cut in a long while. I mean, he was seemed confident on the mic. I know there was a poop joke, a Michael Jackson joke, and a couple of racist jokes in there, but still.
No, definitely on the mic, he was more energetic and seemed more alive. It didn't seem like he had laryngitis this week. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the Singh brothers was what ruined this segment for me. They were way too overanimated, and it was not funny. I don't know. It wasn't like horrible, like Bailey, this is your life or anything like that. But it was kind of like, okay, let's just move on. It's like it's getting old. It got old pretty fast, basically, is what I feel.
Yeah, no, I tend to. I actually enjoyed it. I kind of ignored the Singh brothers because I was watching this while I was working, so I wasn't paying 100% attention to the Singh brothers. I was just listening to what Jinder said, and he was confident. The promo was clearly scripted, but he delivered it well, and I thought it was one of his better promos.
Fair enough. I agree it was one of his better ones, but, I mean, it ended up the same. It was anti-American.
Yeah, it did. But he did it in a different way, I feel like, because he also warned Shinsuke. That's how they were going to feel about him. So, I don't know. I just enjoyed it.
Now, this match and Hell in a Cell better be better than their previous match.
Yeah, it better be a damn good match to make up for all of this.
And I can't believe that it's at Hell in a Cell because it's still like 4 weeks away and they already have this match booked and it's like, what are they going to do for the next few weeks?
I guess Shinsuke is probably going to beat up on the Singh brothers.
I guess. He's already done that, but I guess we can see that again.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. So the next match on the card, we had the SmackDown Tag Team Championships up for grab in a Sin City street fight between the New Day, which was Kofi Kingston and Big E Langston, versus the Usos, and the New Day won to become two-time SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Why'd you call him Big E Langston?
I don't know. I just said his whole name. I was watching NXT stuff earlier.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it was a really good match, and I don't mind that the New Day won. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the hot potato end of the belts, but at the same time, if you do it right, when it's between just like two people or two teams like it is here and their matches are really good and every match they have is seems different. It's at least the championship matches have seemed different.
Yeah, no, they've built every time they've done a different story and yeah, I have no problem with the title.
And really games. Who else is going to be up for the titles next? I mean, they don't have anybody. So at least you got two solid teams that put on the best match of the show every time that they wrestle.
Yeah, they got to build up the gold standard. That's what I'm going to call Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable up a little bit more before they put them in that title hunt.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be on the show, but maybe they were later. We'll see. Yeah,
we might just see that. So the next match we had, as I said, the New Day won their titles. We had the next title match on the show, which was the SmackDown Women's Championship match, with Natalya going one-on-one with Naomi for her scheduled rematch. And Natalya did retain her championship in this. And I know you didn't like this match, Diesel.
No, I just thought it was all blah.
Yeah. I didn't think it was the greatest match. If I had to give it something out of 10, I'd probably give it, you know, I'd give it a C. I give it a 7 out of 10. So I wouldn't say it was great or anything, but I enjoyed the match. I really enjoyed Naomi's cross body block to the outside to both James Ellsworth and Miss Money in the Bank.
Well, I really thought it sucked that they didn't have entrances.
Yeah, that always sucks when they cut off people's entrances.
I mean, I'm sure they're running short on time, but I mean, Naomi's entrance is what people pay to see. I'm sure the live crowd got to see it, but I still want to see it every time.
No, I understand. I 100% agree with you because I do love Naomi's entrance, and I do feel the glow. So as I said, Natalya won. I won't talk about that match too much longer. As I said, Diesel didn't enjoy it. I thought it was a solid little match. The next part is one of my favorite things that's now going on SmackDown is Dolph Ziggler once again ran through a bunch of other people's entrances.
Just two.
But they were both awesome. He came out and cut a promo before he started doing the entrances.
You know what my favorite part of this segment was?
Oh, please tell me, Diesel.
When he came out as Bayley, and Corey Graves goes, there you go, Byron. You can do that thing you love to do on Raw so much. Like,
yeah.
And Byron's like, I am so insulted. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, no, Corey Graves, once again, phenomenal on college.
Well, right? Him and Byron, too. Byron plays off him really well. Nerdy, like, goody-two-shoes kind of guy. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, no, I enjoy them together as well. But once again, Dolph Ziggler came out first as Bayley, and then he did the Ultimate Warrior, which a lot of people had a problem with. But I didn't even really think about it at first. And in looking back, I clearly had no problem with it because it didn't bother me when I saw it. And I just thought it was him being a heel, trying to get over as a heel.
No, I don't really care. I mean, I liked the tweet that Lance Storm put out earlier today about it.
Yeah, I retweeted that because it's 100% correct.
And yeah, exactly. He's a heel trying to get over as a heel. And basically, he's like, if you're offended because you think that people only liked him because his entrance was everything, why are you offended?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. If you're offended by this, that means that you agree with Dolph Ziggler, which means then you shouldn't be offended.
Yes, and his entrance was pretty much everything. I was never very much a Ultimate Warrior fan.
No, he always had like 30-second matches.
But I did like his entrance.
Yeah. Dun, dun. Yeah, no, we'll just move on. I'm not going to sing that entrance. The next match on the card was the gold standard, as I'm going to call them, Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable defeating the Hype Bros. Solid match. Really good match, actually. That was, you know, great tag team action. They finished. The finish was a little botched. It took Chad Gable. He couldn't reach for the tag.
Yep.
Did you see that? Yeah.
I did see that, yeah.
He was trying to dive and get him. And then after the match, though, we had Zack Ryder not accepting the handshake. So are we finally going to get the heel turn of Zack Ryder?
I hope. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
They got to do something with Mojo Rawley. They want to build him up. So at this point, you might as well split him apart from Zack Ryder and use that because they don't have anyone else for him to feud with right now.
Well, yeah, but you'd think they'd do that, but you'd think they would have done that months ago after Zack Ryder came back. And I don't know. It just seems like they don't care about Mojo anymore like they did earlier in the year when he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. This could be something that they forget about next week and never bring up again, too.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. I really hope it isn't. I really honestly hope that this leads to a Zack Ryder heel turn so that we can see Mojo Rawley versus Zack Ryder just to give Mojo Rawley a little bit of something so that he can go into the U.S. Open Challenge.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll be all right with that.
All right, and then we move on to the best part of SmackDown and my favorite part of the entire WWE week, which was the Kevin Owens and Vince McMahon segment to end the show. And Vince McMahon came out and berated Kevin Owens. He was pretty much ripping on CM Punk the entire time, talking about the fact that I'm a billionaire, and after this lawsuit, there'll be a B in front of your name too. But it'll be bankrupt.
Yeah, he talked about. He talked about how he's been in a lot of lawsuits and he's never lost, and he has so much money and the best legal team in the world that they can drag on proceedings for years and years and years, and basically, about a few months ago, CM Punk was on a podcast and he basically said that that's what's happening, and it's like he's losing a lot of money. I mean, he can afford it, but I mean,
Cabana is just trying to drain him and Colt Cabana of money. And if they don't reach some kind of settlement, Colt Cabana is going to be bankrupt.
Yeah, so that's what I think this whole segment was about. They just wanted to, well, we're going to do this now. Seems like a perfect opportunity. Let's do Kevin Owens. But at the same time, no one gets to work with the boss these days unless he believes in you. And the last person that actually got like a real storyline with him was Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you saw where Roman Reigns is today. So, I mean, Kevin Owens is still on the rise.
Oh, no. Kevin Owens is going to be the face.
And I'll let you say what happens next.
Yes, because everything about this next proceedings was great. Kevin Owens comes to Vince McMahon and he goes, fine, I'll take this match with Shane McMahon at Hell in a Cell, but I want your word that I can destroy. I don't think he said destroy, but that's what I heard in my head. A McMahon with no penalty, with no infraction without being
provoked.
If provoked. And Vince McMahon agreed to that, and he shook on it. And the minute he shook on it, they shook hands for a minute, and then Kevin Owens gave him that smile, and then he headbutted him with the most vicious headbutt I've seen Kevin Owens ever deliver. I mean, it was nasty, and it bloodied. That was straight blood. That wasn't
Busted him over the hard way.
Yeah, that was the hard way.
That was playing him.
It was.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then my question is, how come Vince McMahon gets colored and no one else does?
Vince McMahon is in charge. He does what he wants.
Still, I mean, he's the leader. He should be setting the example.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Oh, but it was amazing.
Oh, it was worth it. It definitely needed blood in that situation. So, I mean, it was a good call. He's Vince McMahon. He knows what he's doing. So, I'm just being.
Yeah, facetious.
Yeah, exactly. I can't say that.
And then the refs came down and try and stop Kevin Owens. And then he super kicked Vince McMahon, threw the refs out of the ring. And then Fit Finley came down.
Started kicking him in the gut, too. Yeah. I thought he was going to go for the Randy Orton punt.
Yeah, he punted him right in the side right before he super kicked him. And then, yeah, Fit Finley came down and was trying to get him to stop. And Kevin Owens was like, okay, I'll stop. And then he didn't stop. He climbed to the top, and bullfrog splashed him.
Yeah, and he was sitting on top of him like, don't do it, don't do it. And then he moved out of the way so he could do it. So that was pretty dumb.
Yeah, it was 100% planned. But
oh, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, kayfabe, awesome. That was just dumb.
Yeah, it was so awesome, though. It was a great ending to SmackDown. So what would you give SmackDown for your rating, then?
I would give that one a 4 out of 5 as well.
See, I would give SmackDown a 4.5 out of 5, which means SmackDown is my winner for the week because I freaking loved SmackDown.
I liked Raw better.
I understand, but I definitely like SmackDown.
Thought the wrestling was better, and I really liked the Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar stuff.
I liked Raw, as I said, solid 4 out of 5, but the Kevin Owens, Vince McMahon stuff, and the Kevin Owens show stuff really put it over the top.
So that was our Raw and SmackDown reviews, and we're running a little short on time. We know we said we might talk about 205 Live and NXT, but we'll save those for a later date. That sound good, Chad?
Oh, 100% sounds good to me, Diesel.
So any closing thoughts here?
So we have to give a shout-out to my good friend Sean McNeary because I'm wearing a shirt that he gave to me. It's the You Just Made the list of Jericho shirt that we bought, or he bought when we went to Fastlane together.
And it's a nice, looks good on you.
Yeah, it's a little big, but I enjoyed it. It's a nice shirt. So thank you very much, Sean McNeary. Here's your shout out.
And you finally got a WWE shirt to wear around.
I do have a WWE shirt.
And it's a good one, too. So
it's a good one. Do you have any final thoughts there, Diesel?
Well, football this weekend, really, and more wrestling.
So. Yep. All jacked up about
that.
That's
really all I got planned. So, I don't know. Well, we can. You want to know how you can get a hold of us? I will tell you right now. Get a hold of me at Diesel_VFTR on Twitter. I'll do it over again because I stumbled. At Diesel_VFTR. Get a hold of Chad at View From The Top Rope
Just View From Top Rope.
View From Top Rope. Not so many of these things on Twitter. We had Facebook and Tumblr is View From The Top Rope. Our Gmail is of View From Top Rope at gmail.com. We are on Stitcher. We are on SoundCloud. We are on iTunes, and we would love a 5-star review and a nice little comment if you would, please.
We would definitely love that. Please remember to like, comment, subscribe, share with your friends. Tell them how awesome we are. Tell us how awesome we are. And if you don't like us, come and fight with me on Twitter.
Yeah. Put us over and we'll put you over for sure.
That's how it works in pro wrestling, baby.
And so, I mean, I think that's about it for tonight. Okay, well then, for my good buddy Chad, I am Diesel, and we thank you for climbing high with us, and we hope you enjoyed our view from the top.